Hello, everyone, and welcome to the VRO's Twilight Diaries. It's Tuesday, April 20th, 2010, and we are here at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Gina.
And I'm Andrea.
And there she is.
And tonight we welcome guest Melinda Clark. Melinda was raised by her ballet dancer mother, Patricia, and actor father, John. At the age of 18, she moved to L.A. and launched her career in acting and modeling.
Yes, Melinda has had a prolific and successful career. In just the past few years, she's appeared on HBO's hit series Entourage as a fictionalized version of herself, married to Malcolm McDowell's Terrence McKewick. Clark has also appeared as the devil's girlfriend in the CW television network's 2000 series Reaper. She originally appeared on the Fox drama The OC as a guest star, and due to fan response, was offered a contract for her role as Julie Cooper Nicole. She accepted the role and became an integral part of the show's storyline. She now appears on the CW show The Vampire Diaries as Kelly Donovan, Matt Donovan's sometime absentee mother. Welcome to the VRO, Melinda. We are so glad to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
It was a wonderful intro. I didn't know some of those things actually happened to me.
No, we were just talking the other night that sometimes we say things and the actors go, "I didn't know that." You can tell we do our research, huh?
Well, it's, you know, we all have different, there's always different versions of the story. There's my side and then the other person's side and then somewhere the truth is in between. So, but no, it's all pretty true, but I didn't realize the fans had such a great response to the character and that's why they offered it. But maybe that's what happened. I just thought that the people on set liked me.
The fans really liked you. Yeah, the fans really liked you on that show. Don't worry about that.
They love to hate Julie, I'm sure, actually.
Yes.
Now, before we get started with the questions tonight, we want to first congratulate you on the incredible success of The Vampire Diaries. We've seen a lot of wonderful things said by the critics, and we know that we're sure to love the show.
Yes, I think it's always better than hitting the lottery when you have launched a successful show and you have such a successful first season that the studio actually picks the show up for a second season. That means they're in it for the long haul. They want the show to go that 5, 6, 7 years. And that's really, you know, those are sometimes a once-in-a-lifetime chance. So I'm very happy for the entire cast and crew and CW for having such a great hit on their hands. And I have to be honest, I didn't really watch the show before I came on the show because, you know, it just I'm a mom and I don't have a lot of time to watch television. But now I'm hooked. I'm hooked just like anybody else, and I'm really intrigued by the show. And it's really and the cast and crew, they're so grateful and humbled by the success, which is really great to see because, like I said, it can be once-in-a-lifetime chance.
Now, were you into the vampire genre before this opportunity came up, or?
Well, I mean, I read all the Twilight books just like everyone else, and I enjoy them. But there's something really intriguing about this story that is even more challenging, of course, than the books because of the, for instance, the Twilight series. The challenge in this show is that they need to keep audiences interested and satisfied for 5, 6, 7 years to have a successful series. It can be very challenging to tell stories very slowly and still keep the audience, you know, very intrigued and attached to the show. So, I have to say, like I said, I'm really interested. I'm much more interested. So did I watch True Blood? Not really. I mean, I've seen the Twilight thing, you know, but so now I'm really, really fascinated because I know these people and I support them so much, the creators of the show and the writers and the actors, that I'm very interested to see how they play out these storylines because they have so many things to draw from. And subsequently, they're really very smart about making sure that I think certain storylines aren't going to happen until season 3 or 4 or 5. I mean, the audience will really have a lot to look forward to. And like this last week, the character of John he's scarier than the vampires. And that's saying a lot, you know. I thought it was so well written and very, very intriguing. So, yes, I'm into it now, and I have a good reason to be.
And now, awesome. Is working in this type of genre different from non-paranormal shows?
Well, I have to say, you know, one of the things about this show is, to me, it's very much a human drama with a little bit of supernatural. Now, by season 7, maybe it's going to be supernatural with a little bit of drama. I wouldn't know. I've done a lot of genre shows over the years, a lot of prosthetics, a lot of blood. For some reason, it happened before I had a child, maybe back in the 90s. But sure, there's always a different aspect. And as actors, the number one thing that you always have to remember is to believe is brave. You know, we have to actually portray these bigger than life fantasy storylines, and it's why we do what we do. There's a passion for it. We get to play act and work with other actors and be there 100% with 100 other people who are there with you 100%. It's the best adult playground you've ever, you know, been to. So we get to play cowboys and Indians and vampires and werewolves. Yeah, it's great, but of course, everything has a different challenge. I mean, if you're doing a cop drama, that's one challenge, and then if you're doing comedy, that's a different challenge, and if you're doing, you know, a vampire show, you better be believable about sucking blood.
Exactly. I think you put it a good way, you know, that you get to play the cowboys and Indians and vampires and werewolves, and, you know, it's a playground for you, but, you know, you guys do such a wonderful job. And so, you know, kind of drawing from what you have said about this human drama and, you know, how it works, how did you, what did you draw on to create that character of Kelly Donovan that you have? And how would you kind of describe, maybe if someone who is listening to our show hasn't seen the Vampire Diaries, how would you describe that character?
Well, right now, we don't know that much about Kelly Donovan, who is Matt's mother. And as the season has progressed, she's just the absent mother who hasn't been around. And, you know, we know that Vicky was a vampire, and then they killed her, and she was dead. And then that Matt, you know, that she's disappeared. And then my character, breezes into town. And we really still don't know that much after the 4 episodes. All we know is that she really can't help herself, and she really has a alcohol problem, and ultimately for me, I just had to create that this woman has some very dark past. We don't know why she's gone, and Matt really hasn't drilled her and forced her to explain where have you been. He just accepts her back because I guess this must be a pattern that he's used to. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went on the idea that this woman really has some demons within her, pun intended, maybe, or no pun intended.
Right.
You know, why she keeps messing up the way she does, but yet she, you know, she really can't help herself and ultimately is a victim of her own actions, but yet she knows it. So clearly she's trying to escape something, and I believe, like I said, because the show is going for longevity, we've only had a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a tease of this woman. She's fun. She can have fun. She can party. But, you know, why is she acting like she's 18 years old when she's not? Why isn't she acting like a mother? Why is she making out with the high school boy? You know, what
right.
kind of mother does that? You know, what's wrong with her that she can't make the right decisions? And, you know, we all know people like that. So, you know, I may have had my own ideas as an actor about what was going on, but the writers might have some different ideas. So hopefully in the future, we won't see her for the rest of the season, but hopefully in the future, we'll figure out and find out what really has been going on, because she has a past with the entire town. You know, she's friends with you know, the sheriff, and I guess for some reason she doesn't like the sheriff. So there's so many stories to tell, and I love that they've just tickled the senses of all the audience to know that these characters have a lot more to give than what they've seen. So she messed up bad, so Matt kicked her out. And
that's kind of
unforgivable.
Yeah, well, that kind of leads right to my next question. You're doing my job for me. You're leading right to where I need to sit.
I've never done this before.
Well, you're doing great. I would never have imagined that you hadn't done this before. Don't tell me that. You're doing wonderfully.
I'm being facetious.
Of course you are. Did you really think that with that huge, varied career so far that you've never interviewed before? No.
No.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, well, give us a, if you can, this is obviously we know contractual obligations and whatnot, but if you can give us any tidbits, will Melinda Clark be returning next year? And if she is, is there anything that we can know about right now, or will we have to wait and just see what happens?
Well, I'll tell you right now, there's no solid plan to come back.
Okay.
We know that Kelly's not dead, at the very least. And I have been established as Matt's mother. Ultimately, I left to do a pilot that I'm hoping we'll cross our fingers. Hopefully it gets picked up. And if that happens, then I won't necessarily be available. But hopefully if it gets picked up, it'll be on the CW. And it's a new version of La Femme Nikita called Nikita. So if you don't hear about it being picked up, then I'll be a lot more available. But even if it is picked up, I'm hoping that I'll be allowed to pop in and out of Mystic Falls. And from what I understand, the producers would be happy to have Kelly back. So it's just a matter of finding the timing and working it out. But I can say this. You haven't seen the last of Kelly for sure. I could say that with, 95% certainty, I would say. It's just nothing that's solid. And, of course, I don't know anything in the future. All I know is that there's going to be some pretty intense storylines in the seasons to come. I would have, we know that for sure. So is that
vague enough for you? Well, we definitely hope. Yes, it was. But we definitely hope that you get the best of both worlds there. All the luck to you on that, definitely.
Right. I'm excited. No,
like
I'm excited. And I would be happy to go back to Mystic Falls anytime and, booze it up with Damon. See how many other teenage boys. Jeez, there's something wrong with this woman. Like I said, now I'd be happy to be back, and it's always fun. It's fun. I find a lot of freedom in characters like Kelly Donovan, because there's a lot of freedom to just be, whatever you want her to be, funny, sad, just flawed in so many ways. And that's much more interesting to me than somebody who's just constantly in control. She's out of control. And that's really satisfying. It's fun.
Right.
Now, touching on you saying that, it's freeing to be Kelly Donovan. If you weren't Kelly Donovan on Vampire Diaries, what other character would you might want to play in the series?
On the series? You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to be a character in, 150 years ago. Don't they go, in the past to the Civil War?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of period storylines, whether it's Civil War, turn of the century, medieval, anything that could be, that's another play acting that we love to do. Anything with a corset would be great. No. No, it would be great to be like maybe the Grand Dame. My friend Kelly Hu, who played Pearl, which is fun. I've known her for 12 years. She's Anna's mother, Pearl, and she's the vampire. She's the oldest one on the show right now. But to even be the queen vampire that started it all back in Egypt or something, could be very interesting. I mean, they could tell so many stories, and it's a wonderful platform for them to do so. So, but anything in the period piece, I'd love to be able to do. Maybe I could. All these characters could have characters in their past, I imagine.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask because I am here in Atlanta myself, and I've had the privilege of being able to go and visit out at in Covington where they film. How did you enjoy filming over here on this side of the country and here in Atlanta itself? What was your experience like filming over here?
You mean Hotlanta that was not hot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it'll be hot soon enough. But
I know. I started in January. Flying out there, and there were storms in LA, there were storms in Atlanta, and I have to be honest, I'm from California. I've been in lots of snow, but I wasn't prepared to be driving in it. but I do have to say, you all have some great restaurants there, and I'm a big foodie. If anybody says what's your hobby, I would say food. So
okay.
I was very happy at the restaurants and the different, savory things that I could enjoy while I was there. And the people were so nice. So it was a great place. And the cast and crew, I'm so happy to have made some new friends. It was great, except for the morning that I woke up and it was such a blizzard. And I thought, I've never driven in snow before. Okay. There's always a first.
Why?
But it was good. It was good.
I know. It's few and far between when we get that snow here. No worries there.
Right.
Now, we have a question from the chat room. Somebody in the chat room would like to know, do you have any advice for anyone who might be trying to get into acting?
If you're interested in acting,
mm-hmm.
I would say the number one thing is to do it because you're interested in acting, not because you're interested in making a lot of money or becoming a celebrity. You have to do it for the passion of it. I mean, Dustin Hoffman said even he loves acting so much that even if he'd never become a movie star, he'd be doing his community theater every day. He just needed to do it that much. And obviously training and learning how to do it, you don't want to just say, I just want to be an actor because I'm pretty. You actually want to study and be serious about the craft and find a teacher or a school that really, really makes you tick and have the passion for it. But don't do it because you want to be a celebrity or because you want to make money. Do it for the passion, my advice. And the number one thing you cannot be is lazy. This is not an industry for anyone who thinks they can just get it. You can't be lazy.
Very good advice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have one
think,
last.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said I think a lot of people think there's pampering and there's a lot to do, but the more successful you become, the more your life is your job. So. It depends on the level, that you're willing to do. And a lot of times you're working 18 hours a day and, you don't necessarily, like I said, you just can't be lazy. You have to be prepared. You have to, make sure you take care of yourself. You have to get enough sleep. You have to balance it all and not get a bad attitude. There's so much that goes into it. It's not just about making money and being recognized. That's the last thing that should be on your list. When you want to be an actor.
Right.
Okay, that's it. That's all I'll give.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, we only have a little bit more time, so just a few more questions. But I definitely wanted to ask this one before I let you go, was that I have enjoyed such a great deal of your work, but probably the CSI role of Lady Heather was one of my favorites of yours. And I just kind of wanted to have your thoughts on, how, when you played the character, because she was such an interesting character on the show.
Well, for me, Lady Heather to this day is my favorite character. It was one of those moments, and with television works very quickly. As actors, we get, sometimes as actors for guest spots, such as Lady Heather, we get the material the night before, you audition the next morning. And for some reason, the material and the character of Lady Heather just fit me like a glove, and I was able to give a great audition, get the job, and then it was so well-conceived and so well-written. I didn't have to do any research. It was just within the script. And then just the absolute pleasure and opportunity to work with William Peterson, who played Grissom, it was just the icing on the cake, because the characters and us as actors, I guess the chemistry was really there, and it struck a nerve with the audience, and they subsequently, of course, wrote 5 more episodes. So to this day, I'm very much in awe of the character, because she's, even though she does this very odd, rare, or has this odd, rare, you know, occupation as a dominatrix, somehow she's sophisticated, intelligent, enigmatic, mysterious, and willing to do things that most human beings could never even try or even think of. So that was definitely one of those characters that for me was like going to Disneyland. And, you know, not to say that it was about whips or chains or punishment. It was just as an actor, it was really great to be on set, because Grissom is such a cerebral character, and so is this woman, but yet she has sexuality and power, and she owns her sexuality, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people somehow think that I'm like that woman, but I look up to Lady Heather just like anybody else. That's why I like playing those roles, because it's just fun. I can hide myself in there. I don't have to be the stressed out soccer mom.
Right.
But it was a very successful, very successful character, and I would love to come back. I know that William Peterson has moved on, even though he's still a producer. He may or may not be there, but the producers have told me that they love the character, and it's a very difficult, to write shows for Lady Heather, it can be very difficult and challenging because they put so much into it. I don't know if we'll ever see the character again. You know, a lot has happened to her on that show, so I can't imagine what more they could do to her. So maybe she's starting again. She can't. You know, I'm always afraid when they call it. It's about, you know, Lady Heather's dead now. You know, it's a murder. But
I hope we just get to think of her as just being out there doing her thing forever from now on. You know, doing. Just knowing that she's out there, that makes me happy.
Right. I agree. She's there. She's now a therapist.
Okay.
Which is true. She had to give up the dominatrix thing, so now she's just a therapist.
Right. Yeah. And the last episode the last episode that she did actually was a really touching episode. And you know, you don't really, I guess, think sometimes that an episode about a character like that would be so, you know, so touching and heart-wrenching and, you know, really make you feel like that. And a lot of people, I think, were really kind of like, oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to like this character, but I loved the character, you know. And that last episode with her, it was emotional. You know, her relationship with Grissom was even emotional in that little play that they had going on, you know, throughout the time that she was on the show. But I go on.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I never saw her. I mean, she was never a bad guy. I don't ever think that she was a character that you would dislike. The only thing that I know was going on was that I think Grissom and Sarah had a relationship, and some people were Team Sarah and some people were Team Heather, that kind of thing. It's always fun. That's just fun for the audience to get interested, you know? So.
Right.
So this is kind of off the topic of Lady Heather, but going in a different direction, we've heard that you're involved with a youth literacy advocacy group named the Young Storytellers Foundation. Can you tell us a bit about them and why you've chosen this organization?
Well, I have to admit, that was something that happened during the OC. Tate Donovan was very involved, and that program, like a lot of programs around, or at least from what I understand, especially around Los Angeles, is encouraging young children to write at an early, you know, some of these children in less affluent areas and such, but, you know, professionals in our industry teaching and inspiring young kids to write plays and and stories. And then there's also other programs around town that, that teach children rock band or music. And a lot of kids who wouldn't have access to those kinds of professionals or programs within the school systems. But I think it's really, really important that the arts and that we, you know, cultivate creativity in kids, and especially when these budgets in the schools are being cut so much. So the literacy programs and young storyteller programs are, they're such a fun thing to be a part of. And when these children have done these plays, and the celebrities come out, and then the children get to actually cast the celebrities in their plays, and they read them out loud like a cold reading. And that's the reward they get for writing these plays and these scenes. So I haven't actually been to one in a long time, but of course, it's been anything. Like I said, this community is very good about giving back what they know and from their profession, and it's important for kids to have that. Unfortunately, especially in California right now, we're getting cut left and right. And as far as education, we used to be much, much more supportive of the arts and creativity, and we can't always do that now. So it's important for these foundations and charities to do such work.
Right. Well, I know that we are running out of time. So one more thing, we always like to try to get this information out to the fans if you have it. We always ask if you have a public fan Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, or a fan site that your fans can go to and find out more about you and follow some of the things that you're doing, some of your upcoming projects. So if you have any of those, please share them, and we will post them out for the fans to come and take a look.
Okay. I have to be honest, I'm not on Twitter right now. So I'll take this opportunity to let you know that I'm not on Twitter, although there are a few people posing as me.
Okay. It's always good to know when they're not the real people. Yes, it's always good to know when it's not the real people. Yes.
No, what's on there right now? But I have been thinking about getting with 2010 and doing that. Like I said, I'm a busy mom, and I need to – I'm not always the best at being on top of it and being in being hip and with it. So I'll try and I don't have a website right now that I think you – I mean, the thing is
okay. –
There's so many websites out there that everybody seems to know everything anyway. I am looking at doing a Twitter account soon. So if you see one soon that is mine, then it's probably me. And it's just not the ones that are on there right now.
Thank you so much. And we really appreciate you being here and especially taking time from your busy schedule. And we hope that you will be back soon. We definitely welcome you to be back on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.